KGMI Morning News Extra.
7:49, talking about taxes, government, all that stuff with Jason Mercier from the Washington Policy Center. Jason, we're getting to you early this morning because there's so much to talk about with all the taxation from this session just ended, and it's hard for folks who see taxation as a limitation on their personal freedom.
Well, it's not even so much the fact that we have now, the legislature has passed an income tax, setting up a lawsuit because of the constitutional prohibition on this form of taxation, but they also did it in a way that was really a dishonest debate. They stuck on a provision to prohibit the citizens from exercising their right of referendum. And this resulted in a floor speech from a Democratic senator, Senator Mullet, who voted against the bill and basically said that the legislature was trying to, quote, move heaven and earth to stop the people from voting on this. And that was really disappointing to see happen.
For people who may be new in Washington State, what's the history of them having their voice into whether they want income taxes or not?
Washington's Constitution very clearly says that we are the sovereigns of the state, and we actually maintain legislative power before the legislature through initiative and referendum. And the referendum is basically us acting like the governor. We can veto bills we don't like. But there are a couple of exceptions to that right of referendum, and they're supposed to be very limited for urgent, immediate needs. This tax that just passed, this income tax on capital gains, is not scheduled to take effect until January of 2022. And the first cent wouldn't be collected until April 2023 when individuals file their federal income tax returns. So a tax 2 years out, how you can claim the citizens shouldn't be able to exercise their constitutional right of referendum, especially considering the voters have already 10 times rejected income taxes at the ballot box, it really is a disturbing development. And the way it happened as well, they weren't saying that, you know, we don't want you to vote on this. We think this is so important, you shouldn't vote on this. They were playing games, and this phrase was put in the middle of the bill. It just was something I haven't seen happen before. It was very disappointing.
Now, I hadn't even thought about the logistical piece of this. So does this mean starting in 2023 that Washington residents may have to fill out a state return of some sort to pay their capital gains tax if they're dinged by this?
Well, there's a few steps to happen yet. We know a lawsuit will be filed, and this law could be ruled unconstitutional before it ever took effect. But to your point, yes, for the first time under this law, individuals that the state thinks is subject to this tax will be required to file their federal income tax return and all schedules and forms to the state of Washington. Now, it's going to be up to the state to determine whether or not people have filed those forms, and that creates a situation of how is this going to be audited and who are they going to be reaching out to if they don't think everybody paid the tax they should have.
You know, I lived in Illinois for a couple of years, about 10 years back, and at that time, that's when they passed what at the time was supposed to be a temporary 3% income tax, and then it gradually grew to 5%, and miracle of miracles, it became permanent. You know, that kind of seems to be the history of these sorts of things. You open the door a little bit, like this one, where it's just taxes over $250,000 in gains on certain stuff, and then later just gets kind of kicked open wider.
Well, let me tell you about a temporary two-year emergency tax that we are still paying 80 years later. That is the business and occupation tax. That was supposed to be temporary. It was a two-year emergency tax. And when the Supreme Court barely upheld it in a 5-4 decision, the justices said, we know this tax is going to cause problems, but don't worry, it's only for 2 years. So you can understand why voters don't trust those promises about taxes being temporary, limited bases, and low rates.
Any other tax stuff passed that's going to ding people's pocketbooks a little bit here, too?
The legislature did pass the cap and trade climate bill, and while that isn't necessarily a direct tax, that will have the effect of increasing energy prices, as well as they passed the low carbon fuel standard, which again is not a direct gas tax increase because the money does not come to the state, but has the same effect because it increases the price of the refined gasoline. So you're going to be paying more with gas, going to be paying more through energy, and there were some other taxes, a $100 recording fee for like filing documents that was supposed to go for affordable housing. So somehow paying more to file your documents is supposed to lead to more affordable housing. But there's probably more that was buried in that 1,100-page budget, but I'm still wading through it.
All right. Well, Jason, we sure appreciated you helping us wade through all the stuff happening during the 2021 legislative session, and I have no doubt we'll stay in touch. Jason Mercier is with the Washington Policy Center. Thanks for joining us this morning on KGMI.